Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
Awesome. And Sarah's like laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at how intoxicated you are, not at what you're saying.
It's not how I look at Sarah, it's about how I sound. I feel like I sound really good.
I'm Dan Nalen, and you have tuned into a very special episode of the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this amazing South by Southwest episode, Slug goes on the road. That's right. Junior editor Alexander Ortega, managing editor Esther Moronio, lead designer Joshua Joy, and editor Angela Brown all went down to Austin for this year's whomping huge music festival and conference, South by Southwest. And they recorded several segments of chit-chat about their experiences down there, the new music they've heard, and some of the great stuff they experienced down in Texas. Be sure to stay tuned through this whole episode. You're going to hear some great stuff straight out of Austin.
Hi, so this is Josh Joy from Slug Magazine, and we are starting our first day of the podcast for Soundwaves from the Underground, coming at you live from the studio of the hotel room.
South by Southwest, the Sheraton on 11th Street.
The exclusive Sheraton South by Southwest studio.
Yeah, and we have the best view ever.
We really do have a great
view. And a pool.
Mm-hmm. You can see Stubbs from the outdoor pool.
And you can see Mohawk's outdoor stage.
I got into Austin and I probably was, you know, it's the first night. I probably wasn't as prepared as I want, which is okay because it worked out and I figured it out and kind of wandered around and actually found a really awesome showcase from Chile, mostly Chilean bands, and one in particular that was really amazing. The only problem is me stumbling around, I had no idea what this band was. I think I had it written down somewhere in my phone. I'd have to double check and find out. I'll come back with that or something, I guess. So.
I feel like it should be mandatory for bands to, like, after every song, they have to say who they are.
Well, like, there's certain segments that, like, as a band, you, like, want to just, like, okay, we're going to do, like, these three songs in order. So it could be, like, every three songs or every, like, segment of, like, a group of songs, I think.
Because in a festival setting, you can walk in on a band in the beginning of their set, in the middle of their set, at the end, and they'll be like, oh, man, that was so good, and then you won't know who they are.
But it's just, like, you know, you end one song and then the potential energy that's there to, like, begin with another song and be like, sweet party, you know,
like Rammstein,
like, you know, exactly, just like want to stop.
Well, you know, one thing to say is that they do a really great job of starting on time, and so that's one way that I have been able to curtail that problem is by looking at, like, this paper guide or my iPhone app.
Yeah.
Because I've noticed that they're very prompt, and how the fuck do they do it? How do they get all these creative people to be on schedule?
I have no idea. It's pretty amazing. You're right.
It's really great.
I had one band that didn't start on time today, though, and I was very confused. So I was like, is this the band that I was here to see? It doesn't sound like them.
I also had one band who didn't start on time.
All right, well, moving on. So, me and Angela did not get to see this band. Alex apparently did. We were on a plane at the same time, but you want to tell us your experience again?
Yeah, and I'll start by telling you their name, and they're called The Geeks, and they are a band from South Korea, from Seoul. They were on the K-pop showcase at the Elysium, which is a bar. They introduced their set with, like, a kind of, like, classical violin sort of introduction, but then, like, upped the energy with this, like, Gary Glitter sample, like, da-na, hey! And then after that, just totally went into these, like, DB breaks, like, and then interspersed those with these really great breakdowns. And their singer was also really amazing because they were just like, he acknowledged that, like, hey, our music's not for everyone, but I'm glad that you have given us this warm welcome. And which was exactly the response. Like, not a lot of people were, like, moshing, which I kind of hoped they would because they were so great. They were a great hardcore band, and I had a lot of fun listening to them. But because it was, like, a K-pop band, the response was kind of as you would expect. Like, it was more in reverence toward them being, like, a Korean act rather than a hardcore act. But from there, they made the most of it.
What do you want to talk about, Esther? What was your favorite show experience for the first day?
So I went to the Terror Bird Showcase first, and there were two bands that I really wanted to see there. First was Mitzi, and they're this kind of like 80s electro pop group from Australia. And I had no idea what they were going to look like because I'd only heard some of their music, not really done any research besides that. And they're just these like four guys that look totally normal and have like button-up shirts and everything, and then but then they're singing this like 80s electro music that you'd think that they'd be wearing like sequins and white gloves
or you'd hope.
Well, that's what they sound like. And yeah, but they were really, really good, and everyone was dancing even though it was like the middle of the day. And then after them, this band called Widow Speak played, and a couple of them were wearing matching track jackets that said Widow Speak Tour 13 on them, which I thought was kind of cute. They were really, really awesome. The girl kind of sounds like the chick from The Cardigans, and I really love The Cardigans. Anyway, they were really, really good, and I definitely suggest people check them out. And then I also saw this band from Africa. Actually, I'm confused about where they were from, but because one of the guys was from the UK. But they sang in an African language, and everyone was like singing along, and so was I, even though I had no idea what I was saying. But
wait, how did you know the words?
Because it was really repetitive.
Okay.
Yeah,
speaking in tongues.
Yeah, I was speaking in tongues.
Really?
But they were really awesome and really upbeat. The band's called The Very Best, and they're playing for this Invisible Children party.
The Geeks had some Korean chants, and I can't remember them, like, for the life of me.
So who's your favorite that you saw?
Probably Widow Speak.
I want to say them too. But I went and saw, as soon as we got the plane, we heard and came here, our flight got delayed a little bit, or just rescheduled and pushed back, so we didn't get to the hotel till like 7:30, so we freshened up, and then we went down and got our badges and went straight to the 18th floor Hilton Garden Inn, where actually I stayed in, I think, 2008 with Rebecca Vernon. But anyway, so we went there and we saw, we went to this literary event that was hosted by the People of Letters, and I guess they have one coming up, another event in Brooklyn like in a month or two. But they encourage people to write letters and that they will only read once. At least that's what this event was about. And so it was neat. There was some people that I had never heard of that I definitely want to look up. For instance, Emma Swift. In fact, we walked in right when she was reading her letter. And do you remember what her letter was about, Josh?
I can't even remember it is the problem, because I got so sidetracked by Neil Gaiman.
Which he was next. He was next. His was pretty good. It was about her journey being a musician and how she found her voice. And her name is Emma Smith, and she's Australian. And the quote that she said kind of in closing of her letter was, "The day I value a man's opinion about my art above my own ended a decade ago." Emma Smith. And I like that because she's talking about like this relationship that she used to have where her partner used to always like tell her how much he hated her voice and or disliked it. And so when they broke up, she started writing the type of music that she wanted to. And the problem was is that he was a musician too, so he'd like coach her and be like, "You're singing it wrong," and stuff like that. And but she knew in her heart that that wasn't the way she wanted to sing. And so I thought that was kind of cool. It just struck a chord with me, so I typed it in. And then we saw Neil Gaiman, who is coincidentally married to Amanda Palmer, and she was there tonight too. And I think she stole the show. I mean, Neil Gaiman was hilarious.
No, it was hilarious, and I agree with you completely on Amanda Palmer stealing the show. Hers was really good, you're right.
Well, and she's someone that, do you guys ever have that artist or that band that you've been familiar with them for like 10 years, but you've like never really been into any of their stuff, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah.
It's like, I really like you, actually. Maybe I should go back and listen to all the stuff that I thought I didn't like.
Right.
I kind of feel that way about her. I don't know. I don't know what it is, but at first, I mean, like, I've had friends that are really into her. Nate Martin, that used to work at Slug for years, was really into her and interviewed her. But that was really fun. So that was a good surprise. And then I went and saw a comic that Mike Brown recommended. Aisha Tyler. That's who Mike Brown recommended. She was a comic. Okay. And he was playing me some of her stuff from a podcast. And actually, I think it's this guy named Big J. He was there tonight, too. And he told all these, like, really crude, like, funny, like, sex jokes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I saw that on the showcase list today, actually, about that guy.
Yeah, but Aisha Tyler, she's from L.A., and I encourage you guys, I implore you all to check her out. She was good.
I was prompted about, like, my response, specifically, and everyone got to choose what they were going to talk about.
Oh, choose.
Are you upset about that?
I just wanted to bring it up, but I really don't care.
Alex, actually, if you want to bring up Tegan and Sarah, that's totally fine.
Did you go?
Oh, I totally went.
Yeah!
But that's not, like, what I would have talked about was Asacre, which was this guy had these pre-recorded tracks and wore, like, this costume, which shrouded his face and had, like, this, like, red, like, light piece, and he played the pre-recorded tracks, and it was, like, really industrial, but, like, his guitar playing was super death metal.
Cool.
And he went outside and was just, like, chugging along, like, to the audience, and there was, like, this Irish band playing outside, and they were just like, what the fuck? And then, you know, he was just kind of like,
yeah,
pulling his guitar out there, and just chugging along!
This is Asacre?
Yeah.
Asacre. Like Massacre, but like
but
with
ass.
But like with an ass. Yeah. Like at the front. Like instead of an M, it's an ass at the beginning. Alright, okay, I'm done.
You're done?
Alright.
One of the many local Salt Lake City bands that made their way to Texas this year was Max Payne and the Groovies, and we are going to play a song off of their 2011 album Tortilla Gold. This is a song called Electro Cosmic Chronic Jam. We'll be right back.
This is Slug Magazine in the Sheraton in Austin for our South by Southwest coverage. It's the third day of South by Southwest, and we're going to talk about what we did yesterday for day two on March 13th. And so, yeah, I'm Alexander Ortega, junior editor at Slug.
I'm Angela Brown, editor.
I'm Joshua Joy, I'm the issue designer.
And I'm Esther Maronio, the managing editor.
Yeah, and so I'm going to start out by talking about scheduling in South by Southwest, because sometimes it doesn't go as planned. Like, I was going to go see Japan Droids and Iggy Pop and the Stooges, but the line was wrapped, like, all around the street. Like, it was coiled.
It was snaked. Street.
It was snaked, exactly. And I was trying to get there early with Josh, but I thought it was at a different venue than what it was. So instead of being 30 minutes early, which might have made a difference, I was more like 10 minutes early. And I probably should have been in there an hour early. So I listened to Japan Droid set outside of the venue, being like, ugh! I mean, I've already seen them, and so it wasn't a huge loss, but I really did want to see them. And I wanted to see Iggy Pop and the Stooges, but the line just kind of wasn't... We hit a wall. We basically hit a wall. Mm-hmm. And the line was not moving anywhere. And so I went and saw Blue Hawaii instead with Esther.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of a big thing about South by Southwest is we spend so much time working on our schedules and, you know, deciding what we really want to do. But sometimes when it comes down to it, you just have to throw it all out the window and go for a plan B. Because some of the shows that you really want to see, you're just not going to be able to get into. For instance, yesterday, I also kind of had a similar situation with Nick Cave. Josh and I had planned to go to the signing at Waterloo Records. Only 100 people were allowed to get Nick Cave's autograph, which we did find this out in advance, and so we didn't go, and we were also working here at the hotel with everyone. But he was playing Stubbs, and I really wanted to get into that show too, and you know, I probably could have gotten in if I waited in line for like 4 hours.
What time was the Stubbs show?
It was early. It was 7:30.
Okay.
So it was before the AAS, and the line was around the block as well, a couple hours before that.
Yeah, I was seeing Cafe Tacuba at Stubbs, and they played right before the Yeah Yeah Yeahs, and I was afraid I might not be able to get in, because Sarah was just like, you'll never make it to Stubbs, ever. But luckily I did.
Both of you guys did yesterday.
I don't think I was supposed to actually be there, because I went through the press line and then I was waiting at the door for the guy to like look at my ID again, but he wasn't paying attention, and I was just like, oh, maybe I don't have to wait for him. So I just walked in.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to actually be in there, but I was, and Cafe Tacuba was great. They're a band from Mexico. And so, yeah, you should check them out.
But that's the thing sometimes when you come here is, like, you go to venues, like, you really need to be on the ball on the game. Just be like, kind of act like you own the place.
Yeah.
And get into stuff. Like, if you kind of just be like, yeah, like, I need to be there. And you exuberate that. You just show that energy, you know.
Yeah.
So, fake it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there are some venues like Mohawk that are so strict. Like the other day, I watched a guy just... They're so rude, too. They're just like...
No, it's true, they are.
Yeah, like, there were some people in line with wristbands, and they were only allowing badges in at the moment, and they were in the badges line, and the guy was just like, get the fuck out of the line! Get out of here right now! And would just not hear any excuses, nothing at all.
Yeah, that Mohawk guy was pretty grumpy. I dealt with him to get into baths, too. But
yeah, I did, too.
You know,
same guy.
I just try and, like, just kill him with kindness and just be really sweet and have a little empathy, because they probably are working, like, insane hours.
Yeah, you know? Probably losing their minds.
I heard one employee yesterday, I think it was at Sherman House, state that he hadn't slept in, like, 2 days. Yeah, and just because he's been working so much. And so it is, I do have a little bit of sympathy and empathy, although those guys are probably making a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah.
Hand over fist.
They better be for that. So.
They're working this week, so they don't have to work the rest of the year.
Yeah, I was in a press line, and I met this nice couple that was in line, but I was in the press line, they weren't press, and so I was kind of like, hey, they're with me, can they come? And the lady's just like, nope. So I'm just like, sorry guys, I tried.
Yeah, so instead of going to see Nick Cave and some of the stuff that I'd kind of planned my schedule around, I just was kind of easy breezy and followed, hung out with some of you guys, which was really nice. And we went to a record store, went to German House. I went to a couple showcases with you, Esther. But it was actually kind of nice to have just a mellow day where it wasn't as rigorously planned as the rest of my week will be. So.
And I started out my day after seeing Foxygen, which was awesome. I decided to do something a little different and go to one of the panels at the convention center and see a panel on drunk history. You probably have heard of it. It's the series that they were doing on Funny or Die, where basically they get someone drunk and then they have them retell a story, like a historical story, like about Abraham Lincoln or Benjamin Franklin or someone. And then they actually have like real actors like Michael Cera and Winona Ryder kind of act out the story as the person's narrating drunk. And they actually have them lip sync like what the person is saying. And if you've ever heard anyone tell a story when they're drunk, it's hilarious. Basically, they're doing the series on Comedy Central now this summer. And the creators were there along with one of the narrators. And they showed us a couple of clips from what we can expect this summer. And also the narrator hadn't seen his clip yet. And so he couldn't remember anything because he was so drunk. He was like blackout drunk. And so so we got to see his reaction to like the things that he had done that night and he didn't remember. And so it was hilarious. But what's cool about what they're doing this time is that they're actually going to different cities, and in addition to telling some like, you know, famous historical stories, they're asking people for their own stories. And whether it's like about, you know, maybe they had like a famous grandfather who did something, so they get them drunk and then they tell the story about their family and have these like A-list actors reenact stories. It was really, really funny, and I kind of want to write in and tell them to come to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
We have some great history, so.
We do. Yeah.
Get Frankie Muniz to act out my stories.
Drunk Mormon history? Wow.
Yeah.
There's a lot of potential there.
Yeah. So that was a lot of fun.
I guess it's my turn. I want to talk a little bit about some of the venues here in Austin for South by Southwest, and they definitely range from your like chain link fence to get into giant venues made up of houses together or just a bar here and there to like gigantic venues like, for instance, the Vader Fort, which is basically a fort. So
a gigantic fort.
It's not made out of blankets either.
No, it's not. See, your childhood blanket fort, you're right. But one of the bars I was really impressed with that was a venue last night was the Soho, which I'd never been there before. It's one of those long bars, kind of like Cheers to You back in Salt Lake, where it's a skinny long bar. But it had two levels on it, and the second level's where all the bands play, and that's where all the badge holders get to go up and kind of have their own area. And
who plays?
It's blocked off. Oh, I saw Ghost play, and not the Ghost, the metal band. It's a different Ghost. They sound like...
The spelling's different.
The spelling is different, yes. And it has like an X in it, super progressive.
I thought it'd be spelled like G-O-A-T-S.
No, the band... No. The band's like Motorhead meets Jesus and Mary Chain with a little bit of synth involved a little bit as well. It's really cool. So I liked them a lot. They're really nice people. Other than that, there's always, you know, I'm looking forward today, actually, or tomorrow, going to the Scoot Inn, and it's always one of my favorite venues, probably because all the Thrasher deathmatch stuff, the skateboarding. But.
Nice.
Also, we both heard that the Central Presbyterian Church was really beautiful inside, and Angela, you told me that. Really awesome.
It is great. I've seen a couple showcases from years past there, and the acoustics in the church are just beautiful. But it is a no-drinking venue, so...
Yeah, that makes sense. It is a church.
I mean, unless it's like, you know, the blood of Christ. Then you can only have a sip of that. And you have to have bread, too.
Which is okay. I like snacks.
Yeah, I went to Holy Mountain last night. That was a really cool venue. I don't know if they normally have, like, the outside tent area, but the lighting in there was really cool. There's lots of, like, greens and purples.
They do, in fact. Rebecca, Verna, and I, that same outside patio. We sat enslaved there.
Oh, cool. In like
2008 or 2006 South by Southwest.
And then the inside's really cool too. It's like, it's still blue collar, but it's like a little swanky because, like, I don't know, the lighting is, it makes you feel like you're like in a noir film or something like that. So I thought that venue was pretty cool. Also, Headhunter's Lounge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of like, Jackalope plus Burt's Tiki Lounge bar equation.
Yeah, me and Angela saw the Dwellers play there last year.
Oh, cool. Is that where you got the shots from above?
Yes.
Okay. Uh-huh. That was a pretty cool atmosphere, I thought, as well, in the nighttime. I haven't gone there in the day, though.
What about Metal and Lace? Did you make it back there yesterday?
Well, not yesterday. I like Metal and Lace, but Headhunters is like right next to it, and I feel like Headhunters was a little cooler. Asiker made Metal and Lace really cool.
Yeah, on the opposite end of that spectrum, I went to Cheer Up Charlie's yesterday. Kind of, I was in the search for a food truck, but I went there, and they always have stages outside, which is really cool because it's kind of a really cute little bar, and there's like a lot of pastel colors, and they always have like vegan food trucks outside and stuff, and so I went there and there was, you know, some okay band playing inside, but it was a lot of fun because it was really personal and everyone was having a really great time, and yeah, that venue is just like very bright and positive, fun.
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week starting on March 26th. And of course, as always, you'll want to go to slugmag.com every day. Check out those listings. There's always new and improved stuff going in there, exciting events. And if you ever want to put your own events in there, just follow the lead on the website and you'll find some great ways to do that as well. On Tuesday, March 22nd, one of these, God, we've been overrun by these bands lately, sort of gypsy-themed circus acts. This is the March 4th Marching Band. They're playing up at Park City Live on Tuesday the 26th. It's quite a live experience. It's almost more theater than music, but always a good time. I've seen them at the Depot before. Quite a show. Wednesday, the 27th of March, the Cave Singers, indie rockers out of Seattle, coming through Urban Lounge. That'll be a great show as well. They played at Kilby last year. They're moving on up in the world. Roger Klein and the Peacemakers, a band that I only note because they did the oh-so-awesome King of the Hill theme song way back when. They come to town on a regular basis. Really good roots rock. The guy used to be in the Refreshments, if anyone remembers that band from down Arizona way. They're headlining over at the Depot on the 27th. Thursday, the 28th, a great young rock band, Deer Tick, who have become pretty regular stopovers in Salt Lake City. They're most renowned, besides just delivering some excellent albums like Providence and their recent EP, Tim, for they always do a little Nirvana cover or two during their sets. Always a good time. They even opened with a Nirvana song last time they were at Urban. Same night, all you industrial heads will want to make your way over to the Depot for KMFDM. Yes, they're doing it again. Their long-running team. We're already rocking in the booth here. On the 29th, another great young rock band on the serious rise. They're not going to be playing small venues for much longer. The Joy Formidable coming through on their sophomore album release tour. They're playing at the Urban Lounge on the 29th of March. Same night over at the Stateroom, the beginning of a two-night stand. It's Patterson Hood, best known as the leader of the Drive-By Truckers, a loquacious one, great storyteller, seriously great songwriter. He's playing Friday and Saturday at the Stateroom, and on Saturday at 5 o'clock, he'll also be doing a little CD signing hangout at the Heavy Metal Shop. So stop by Kevin at Heavy Metal Shop, one of the bigger Truckers fans you know out there in the world. Same weekend, Friday on the 29th, Evil Dead the Musical. I don't know what the musical is going to be like, but Evil Dead is fucking awesome, so it's bound to be pretty good. I just hope they have a lot of blood like they have in the movies. That's over at the Grand Theater, also playing on Saturday night, Evil Dead the Musical. Saturday the 30th, Loeb, coming back to Utah, a longtime favorite. They're playing down at Valour in Provo. They have a new album coming out on Sub Pop. Always a quality band, straight out of Minnesota. Former Provo residents themselves. Should be a great show. Sunday the 31st, Two Bob Crew. A little world beat action for you at the Stateroom. And it's Easter, so you can hop on over to the garage during the day, and Jesse Walker does his annual bunny hop all through the afternoon. Great way to get outside, play some cornhole, have some drinks outside. Great time. Also Sunday the 31st, First, the Geek Show Movie Night at Broovies, two of my personal favorites, Revenge of the Nerds and Animal House, back to back. That's almost too much awesome in one night for Broovies. I don't know if they'll be able to handle it. And finally, on Monday the 1st, old school metal over at In the Venue, courtesy of Exodus, former band of Metallica's Kirk Hammett. Should be a good show right there. Once again, slugmag.com. Go check it out every day. Check those listings. Add your own. For a mere $5 a month, you can add some quality content to your listings. $50 a year, you can do the same thing. Check it every day. It's good for you.
Hey, Soundwaves listeners, you're here with the Slugmag team at South by Southwest. It's 2:30 a.m. on Thursday nights, and we are in front of the kimchi burrito carts, just getting some food before we head back to the hotel, and we are going to play a game today called Truth or Dare. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. So how this is going to work is one of us will ask one of the other team members Truth or Dare. If they pick Truth, they have to answer a question. If they pick Dare, they have to ask one of the many hundreds of people around us a question. I will start. My name is Esther. I'm the managing editor.
Angela Brown, editor.
Alexander Ortega, junior editor.
Joshua Joy, lead designer.
All right, so Angela, let's go with you first. Truth or dare?
Dare.
All right, let's pick a question. You have to ask one of these very drunk people. Let's go with the simple one. What was your favorite show so far?
I have a feeling most of these people have not gone to shows. But let's find out, shall we? Excuse me. Can I ask you guys a question? Have you guys gone to any shows tonight?
Yeah.
What was your favorite show?
My favorite show? It's probably the Flaming Lips.
Oh, cool. I really wanted to go to that show. What did you like about it?
I don't know. He had like a fake guitar that he was playing. It was really cool. And he still looks like Mark Twain, like with the fucking hair and the thing. It was awesome. It was cool.
Thank you so much. All right. So now I pick someone. Can I pick you, Esther?
Yeah.
Oh, truth or dare, Esther?
I'll do a dare.
All right. The question. Oh, should I pick the question?
Yeah, you can pick one of these or pick your own.
Okay. Craziest South by Southwest story.
Okay. Hey, do you want to be on our podcast?
Yeah, like 2 seconds. Yeah.
Okay. What was your craziest South by Southwest story?
I saw a guy pickpocket another guy and then tackle another guy to get away, and it was really crazy.
Was this today?
Yesterday. It was actually really shitty. Can I say shitty on your podcast?
Yeah.
Cool.
So, did you do anything about it? Did you, like, try to save the day?
Five people tried to chase after him, and they got him. But I was not a hero, no. But I got across the street. This has been lovely.
All right. Thanks. Okay, Josh, truth or dare?
Choose truth.
Okay, if you had to pick one band that you've seen today to get drunk with, who would you pick?
Oh, I probably have to choose Piss Jeans. They were having a lot of fun. Way too much fun. Not to mention they pretty much told the whole audience to just fuck off, like, multiple times. And then they told the whole audience to leave to go to a better show because David Bowie was playing down the street. Who else were they playing with, Alex?
I don't know. I only saw Piss Jeans.
Yeah, Piss Jeans said that David Bowie was playing. No, Piss Jeans made an announcement that David Bowie was playing with some really bad band. I can't remember.
I don't know. I got to Piss Jeans late.
Oh, okay.
So if you were hanging out with Piss Jeans, they'd probably be angry drunks?
Maybe. I don't know. I think it's all stage presence is what it was.
To me, when they said that, like, they didn't appreciate anybody that was there, that it seemed more like, as the bitters say, like, giving you the piss.
Oh, wait, I forgot about that part. I retract all that, actually. I can change it.
But you know what? I bet if you went drinking with them at the end of the night, none of them will piss their jeans.
Yeah.
Which is just, like, false advertising.
Yeah. Well, the only person left is Alex. So here's what we're going to do. Alex.
Yeah.
Truth or dare?
Dare.
Oh, all right. Are these all the same?
No. So you should ask, what do they think that SLUG, the acronym SLUG, stands for?
Oh, that's a really good one. Yeah.
Okay.
You have to do that.
All right. Let's find somebody. I'm with SLUG Magazine, and I have a question for you, real
quick. What's the question?
What do you think the acronym SLUG stands for? SLUG.
Why do you ask him?
Wow.
Because he's the first person I saw.
What's the question?
What do you think the acronym SLUG stands for?
SLUG stands for?
S-L-U-G.
A slug is a hollow head. The shit that put people in their head and leave them dead. Leave them on the streets. I saw that shit just the other week.
Not the kind of slug that goes into somebody's head. That's the bad kind of slug. Salt Lake Underground. Don't forget it, people. Angela, truth or dare?
Dare.
Oh, we're still good. Okay.
You know what? I'm gonna add in my own. Okay, name one band that you saw tonight and the animal that band would be.
Excuse me, can I ask you a question?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Have you guys seen a band tonight?
Yes.
What was your favorite band in all the bands that you saw tonight?
Wait. Eric Tesmer.
Eric Tesmer?
Eric Tesmer.
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 What would you say if Eric Tesmer had to be an animal, what kind of animal would
a
Eric
giraffe.
Be?
No, that's not true. That's not true. He would be a gorilla.
Stoic and he then would slightly long-necked.
If Eric Tesmer hears this, Eric Tesmer would be a fucking gorilla because he's a beast on that guitar.
Now, also, it's called Holy Sexy Bastards. This band, Holy Sexy Bastard, fucking
he had
raw,
to spit out first.
Wonderful.
It's horrible.
And
it's horrible.
A band that, like, just, you know, like a band that, like, doesn't really, like, they have amazing music, but they don't really exuberate it.
Yeah.
This band just fucking owned it. They fucking made me fucking come. Like, they danced it off exactly how it was.
Cookies and cream.
Holy,
that's all I got.
Sexy Bastards. That band fucking owned it, and I work for D512. They will.
What kind of animal would they be?
Oh, an elephant, because they'll fucking.
This is all out of Africa. Notice this, all the animals is out of Africa.
Well, I mean.
Can I get a hippo
what
or something?
Am I gonna say a corgi? Like, what do you mean? Like American, like, oh, he's a fucking
South Africa. They have poodles there.
A good fucking hardcore animal would not be a corgi. It'd be a fucking.
It'd be
elephant.
A Sean. It'd be a Sean drinker.
A Bichon Frise.
A Bichon.
My favorite kind of dog.
That is my favorite type.
Really?
Yeah. Fluffy died in 07. I don't want to talk about it.
Hell.
I don't want to talk about it.
Thank you so much, you guys. We really appreciate your time. And we'll check out that. We'll totally check out that.
Wow.
Great. Alex, would you like the sticker she just gave me?
Oh, sure. It looks like ovaries. What is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right, Alex, truth or dare?
Truth.
What do you want to accomplish by the end of the week?
Well, I haven't found a Ferris wheel yet, so... My whole goal coming to South by Southwest was to kind of come to be surprised. And so the idea of accomplishment is kind of counterintuitive to that. But if there is something I want to accomplish, it's to get a record deal for my band.
It's good to have goals and dreams.
You know, if you shoot for the stars, you'll hit the ground. That's Phil Flords on Facebook. You can find us and Bandcamp eventually. I mean, there's a Bandcamp for Phil Flords. There's only like one song there, but you know. Okay, my turn. A stare, truth or dare? I'm a poet and I didn't know it.
I'll do truth this time.
Okay. All right, Esther, how much liquor have you consumed?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so boring. I have had like 2 glasses of wine. Wait, today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was the only, like, you know, stock question that was left. And so you guys are just like, I can't ask any other questions. And so I have to ask, like, the liquor question of the person who doesn't drink as much as me.
I'll just answer it for today. Today I went to this showcase that had free beer. It was actually donation only beer. You could donate money to get beer.
Are you sure that was all you had?
Yes. So I had some beers there. because they were pretty much free. And then I had a shot of tequila while I was watching Bleeding Rainbow, and I had a bottle of Lone Star, and that's all I've had today. That is all.
The two glasses of wine?
No, that was earlier this week. I have not consumed a lot, but there was a guy next to me at Bonobo who was smoking crack, I'm pretty sure.
How do you know?
Awesome. Yeah.
Well, because he kept, like, kneeling down, and he was, like, putting stuff in a pipe, but it was, like, too complicated to be weed. I think it was a glass pipe, but I did not smoke crack today.
Stay tuned for next week's episode where Mike Brown talks about crack cocaine, smoking it. This is Soundwaves from the Underdance.
Wait.
Guitarist from Royal Thunder right here. Do you want to be on our podcast?
We're podcasting right now.
Sure.
What's your name, by the way?
Josh. I'm from Royal Thunder, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that was an awesome set. Like, what is it like playing for South By?
It's awesome and crazy. It's great, man. It's you know, it's always a wild experience coming to play a town where there's all these people coming around from all over. It's awesome.
Okay, what does this say, Sarah?
If you had to pick one band to get drunk with, who would you pick and why?
If I was to choose a band, probably Turbo Negro.
Oh, yeah!
I don't blame you.
Yeah, because they know how to get down. For sure. So.
Indeed.
That's who I choose.
And what was your favorite show playing so far in the festival?
Tonight was our favorite. It was our second show of the festival. And
nice. That's because I was there, right?
Yeah, exactly. you brought it, man. So it made all the difference.
Sweet.
Yeah, so... Yeah, tonight was the best.
Cool.
One last question. What do you think SLUG stands for, the acronym?
I have no idea. I've been drinking, so I have no idea.
Me too!
There you go, slug. Slug stands for slug.
Salt Lake Underground.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a present for you.
Awesome.
It's my band, if you like punk rock. It's right. A sticker, too. And there's a download code on the back.
What kind of punk rock? That's a very broad statement.
Well, it's kind of a hybrid. I like to call it post-street punk / dance metal. Seriously, I do like to call it that.
So it's got like some...
it has dance beats.
Gothic influence?
No, not really.
Punk usually has some gothic influence.
Post street punk.
All right, post street.
It's kind of a yeah.
So
it's kind of a it's like a Damage Case, and if Gang of Four had a baby.
All right, fair enough. Gotcha.
Boom. Sweet.
Awesome. Okay.
Sweet. Well, thanks for talking to us, man.
No problem, man. Thank you for having me.
Thanks, Josh.
Cheers.
See ya.
Cool. Well, I think that's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
So this concludes our segment of Thursday night. Stay tuned for tomorrow.
And check out Royal Thunder. They were fucking awesome.
All right. Over and out.
Wait, I retract my question. I'd like to get drunk with Clutch.
Yet another one of our local bands heading down to Texas this year is Desert Noises, who have been out on the road all over the country. We're going to play a song off of their 2012 EP called I Won't See You. This is a song called Birds.
I saw a bird in the sky. He caught my eye and I don't mind you standing in my head for a while. I like talking just fine, but kissing's better I find. Don't you want me down in your soul just to feel what it's like? It's hard to stumble if all you gotta climb up the wall. Get all out like a stone. Time can't spin you just right and lock your eyes on wide before you get out. Go. We like to piss out our mouths and watch the stream hit the ground, tasting on a big black hole. just to see what it's like. It's how the stars made us now. That shiny gold makes us proud. Don't you know the dying sky is just how your money was made? It's hard to stumble and fall. You gotta climb up the wall. Get all out like a stone. Time can spin you just right and knock your eyes off wide before you get out. Go, go. I wanna see you fly back and forth. Dancing in my big grass bed where I lay my head on your chest, facing your mess.
So in a few moments, we're going to get back with the crew and recap our South by Southwest experience, where Slug Magazine messed with Texas for the South by Southwest Music Festival. But before we get to that, junior editor Alex Ortega did an interview with the local band Money Penny, who was also in Austin, Texas for the festival. So let's listen to that, and then we'll be back with a recap.
I'm sitting here with Money Penny, who've just been playing their asses off at South by Southwest last week and this week. Do you guys just want to say your names for the people around and what you play?
I'm Isaac. I whine and play guitar.
I'm Scott, and I try to play drums sometimes.
I'm Ryan Pacey. I play bass and wiggle my fingers and sing.
I'm Steve Holmes, and I shred guitar.
Nice. Have you guys, like, played South by Southwest before?
Or? I never have.
It's the main voyage.
Nice. How has it been?
It's great.
Up and down and fun. So many people at night. So hot all day, and then just at night people come out, and they're so nice.
Nice. How many shows have you guys played?
Too many to count. Like, it's been nice because... like, we'll do shows. Like, one of the shows was like this snooty upscale bar that thought, oh, we have a stage and we have South by Southwest, but we played their grand opening.
Uh-huh.
And we cleared out the whole venue because they were all like old rich people, and we had three waitresses quit that night, so I would say that
scared
was
them.
That's pretty punk rock.
I told him not to feel bad because it was like a badge of honor. I was like, we did what? And like, he described our music perfectly. That's what we did. And yeah. I was like, oh man.
Nice.
But it was bad for him. I felt really bad in that sense. But it
drop
was,
off no battle.
We pissed off a lot of people.
We didn't piss them off. We just,
they were just, we're really
just,
loud.
They just like, wanted to eat their steak.
There's, we didn't just, fit the scene like so, in the places like it, like sometimes. Like, I don't know. And we did good though. We represented ourselves very well.
And for people who don't know, like, can you describe what you sound like?
Oh, it's so hard.
You sound a lot like Fall Out Boy, stuff like that.
It's high energy, no, rock and roll.
My favorite band in the world's MXPX, and like that means like I play bass in this band, so like, I think about that shit. And
yeah.
These guys have their influences, but like, I don't know, we've all just started like actually writing like together, and it's been amazing.
And the three of us were actually in a band before.
Yeah, beforehand.
This.
Cool. It's been like a rekindling of everything.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
And so I remember you guys saying that you had spent some time in Australia. And so what was that about?
Our label's in Australia, And so that's where they signed us. And so it's so hard to get all of our gear down there. So we just did the acoustic stuff, and which really isn't us.
Money penny. But it's like we could do at the time.
Yeah. So, but it's Australia's rad, and they've got amazing fans. And so
cool. Do you have any crazy South By stories so far?
Last night, Isaac told me, I laughed too hard to say it, and I almost thought I imagined it, but I looked over and he's like, I saw it too, so.
We were hobbling back to our bus, and there was this like drug deal that was going down, and this guy, and like we walked by, and this guy goes, hey, watch out for that squirrel, to this girl. And this girl's just trashed. And so she's walking, and then she totally slips on this dead squirrel, like a wet banana.
Well, just, really, literally, a dead squirrel.
This dead seriously squirrel. Is happening.
And then she just smashes her face.
On the car tire.
It's like, on the car tire, she just bounces, and it was just like, what? Like her like arms, like
I didn't think her friend saw it. I thought it was the back tire. I thought she was put on her seatbelt, and I was like, don't go. And her friend's like, no, it's cool. It's the dead squirrel. And I'm like, it's a fucking dead squirrel that did all this.
Yeah, and so we
like,
thought
the boys are not gonna believe this, and I'm like, this happened, right? He's like, it fucking just happened.
When we walked by, it was just like there was like a moment of silence, and just like, huh. Yep.
That just happened.
Still.
Yeah, and then it was just, I couldn't fall asleep last night. Picturing teeth going into rubber, and it was just like this, I mean.
I laughed myself to sleep. I drank too much water, and I walked too far, and I laughed too hard.
Like, yeah. Good. Over.
And so that was like the icing on the cake of South by Southwest. Like,
I broke my foot possibly, or it'd be like a grade 2 sprain, but I actually...
It's slug. They don't want to hear about science. Just say you twisted your ankle.
It's science.
You can talk about whatever you want.
It's
all miscolored and stuff, but we...
It's gross.
We found one of those motorized Walmart carts in the Walmart parking lot. And so Steve had jumped in it and started hot-rodding around and doing donuts and stuff.
Nice.
And Isaac's small enough that he fit in the basket in front. They drove it to the Whataburger. Through the drive-thru and ordered food.
And they served us. That was the best thing.
Right? But they're so nice out here. They're just like, oh, that's clever. like,
got oh cut off God. A few times by Corvette, but...
What a dick.
I was filming it. There was no one in the drive-thru. And then all of a sudden, people started pulling up. So I was like, I should probably wrap this up. Like, I don't want to get run over. I finished filming and ran laughing and hit a patch of wet grass and heard something click, and I played on it like the next night.
Yeah, he's been a champ,
dude.
It honestly doesn't hurt enough when I play to even grimace. It's just pressure.
That's good.
Doctors are for when you're at home.
I've never broken a bone, so I don't really know.
We played doctor, and it's cool.
Until we didn't go to the doctor or anything, so it.
How is it like? The streets for the venues are freaking congested, like getting gear in and out.
I don't like it. It stresses me out. Like, Dan helps us out so much. He is the man. He pretty much does it. He just
Dan the manager.
I call him Sir Lancelot. Sir Lancelot, Lanny, Dano. But like
nice.
He's like always like keeping us together. Like if we fall apart, he's like, all right guys. Kinda like sternly, like you know.
Because we all have ADD.
Well, yeah, we just are like, we're wanting to have fun, we're wanting to sleep, we're wanting to party, we're wanting to read, you know, but we're all in the same, like, room, you know?
So he's like the manager in Metalocalypse to your...
Yeah, and they've been watching it nonstop. I had the girl with the dragon tattoo on in my, like, laptop while they were watching Metalocalypse, and I'm just like, amazing, I love this.
After lots of rush. After one show, it was just like, pouring. It was a torrential downfall of rain.
I soaked my A10 cap, dude. It just soaked.
Oh, no.
It still works, but I was so worried that whole night.
It was... And then here, Floppy McGee, with his broken foot, sprained ankle, gets to stay in the dry thing, and...
Yeah, I think that's the, like, one benefit of me being, like, gimped up, is that I kind of get it easy.
And so, like... Do you have to park really far away to like?
Oh yeah, no idea. I did the 5K last night, dude.
Not too bad though. I mean, but it's so different than LA is just way worse than this. But these guys are all Salt Lake guys, so it's like far away is like a 3-minute walk. But far away, here is like a half hour trek
with Utah,
up and
feeling.
Down,
I go
up
to
and
like,
down.
Right.
Yeah, we've been in the studio, Rick Drew's studio.
I forget about it. I'm like, oh my God.
Joel Pack, and he's just an amazing producer. He's really let us hone in on our strengths and weaknesses, and he's really like kind of
like a gym coach, but in a recording studio. It's pretty great.
And well, not your type of gym coach, but you had your own relationship with him. But
so Joel didn't fill me up yet, so yeah. I don't know what you're
dude,
talking about.
You're missing out, man.
You're the only one then.
it's good to record there personally because it's if it's negative, it's not because you're kind of on that level where you're doing something progressive, you know, like uh-huh. trying to do something and no one's feeling is getting hurt. Like it's been a really smooth sailing. Like
cool.
This has been so fun.
So we're gonna release that hopefully mid-May.
A couple more lead guitar tracks, a couple more vocals, backups. We've done like
yeah,
so
it,
much.
It's just been
nice.
It's been a
12 tracks.
It's a full length.
What are your next couple shows back in Utah?
April 11th, isn't it?
Yeah, hopefully the Shred Shed. You know the Shred
yeah.
Shed. Jesse,
yeah.
homeboy, fucking started like the coolest new venue.
Yeah, Jesse's awesome.
It's so bizarre. Like I'm so proud of him. And in the yeah, just
it's so
you
bizarre.
Know, I don't need to get into that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
Shred Shed.
Hey, we're
Yo.
Back. We're back in Salt Lake City.
We messed with Texas.
And it messed with us.
Now it's 50 degrees here and I'm bummed out.
Would you do it all again?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
I didn't want to leave.
Would you do it differently?
Yeah, probably.
I think I was pretty well organized.
I think I needed to be a little more organized.
I think I needed to show up in line to the goat whore boat show earlier.
True.
Was it goat whore boat show or goat whore boat tour? Because it rhymes.
It was goat whore on a boat.
And I was really hoping that they would cover that I'm on a boat song metal style.
That
would
have been awesome.
I'm on a boat.
Maybe they did. We'll never know.
So yeah, we're going to talk about things that surprised us or we didn't expect for this segment.
What did you not expect, Alex?
What I didn't expect was just like, you know, I knew you could go around and walk into different venues and different bars and see different bands, but like, I mean, obviously we were press, so it was easy, but like just how easy it was to go and find good music. I would be walking down the street and hear songs that I liked, and I'd like go and wander in, and I was just like, oh, who is this? And like one girl was just like, this is the Red 100s. And I was just like, oh man, I wish I was there from the beginning of their set, because I didn't know about them from the official South by Southwest schedule. But I went and heard them, and I was just like, I need to find out where they're playing next. So that was one thing that I didn't expect about the magnitude of how cool the festival was.
I have a very specific surprise. I didn't expect to fall in love with Diamond Rings. I went to the venue expecting this like 80s pop singer with crazy shoulder pad clothes and sunglasses and stuff, and instead I walked in and it was definitely him because there was a big poofy bleached fro thing. I wouldn't call it a fro though.
Reminiscent of Vanilla Ice?
Yes. There's a Vanilla Ice looking dude sitting down, but he was with an acoustic guitar and not wearing any makeup or sunglasses or anything. I mean, it was like a simple singer-songwriter acoustic set, and which was completely different from all the electronic acts that I saw throughout the week. But he told jokes in between his songs and totally warmed up the crowd, and he even gave an encore, which is really rare for a South by Southwest show, just because everyone's on such a tight schedule. Definitely became one of my favorite experiences.
Do you love him?
I love him so much. I'm gonna go to Canada and marry him.
Did you meet him?
No, because it was too weird. I had too big of a crush on him at that point to like go say hi. But he's coming to Salt Lake, so maybe.
Sounds like density.
So Josh, with this being your second time at South by Southwest, what was unexpected for you?
I didn't expect to get into all the gear. I was like, oh, look at that amp or those cabs. I was constantly looking to see what bands like had large formats of pedals set up. I'm like, oh, I'd try to find like certain ones, and I did like I found myself being like, how many? I wonder how many like Sono amps I can find at the like this venue. I found like 3 or 4.
Oh, could have made it a drinking game.
Yeah, I thought about it. I'm making a game out of it. Or like there are some cool cabs that I've seen here and there, And then we were at a show actually together and wanted to look at other... I was like thinking if there was any like Oliver Ackerman pedals people were using and stuff. So I don't know. I think I want to get more into it.
Saw these really cool Emperor cabs that Hal was using, and the one of the guitars had this Mesa head, and I was drooling over it.
Awesome. Yeah. I noticed a lot of cool instruments too, like there's an electric cello, I saw an electric flute, an electric xylophone. I think that this was like a very tech nerdy festival this year, it kind of seemed like, but I don't know, I went to a lot of electronic stuff. So
Angela, what surprised you?
You know, it surprised me how many locals were down there this year. I was really happy to see that. I mean, the Theta Knot guys with that side project, Astaire, remind me what they were called.
They're called Sound Mass.
Yeah, and that was, I think, an 11-piece orchestra with the electric cello, the xylophone, two drummers, several guitarists. That was a really, really fun set to see them play. And then you guys ran into Brunel Washburn.
Yeah, we ran into Brunel at the Spider House just kind of randomly. We'd just gone out there to go hang out, get some food, and we ran into him and his crew, and yeah, they were stoked to see us. And I also ran into Moth and the Flame, actually, at the Desert Noises show.
So cool.
And I saw local art country great Charles Ellsworth. He was at the Chuck Reagan show, and I was just like, Charles, what are you doing here? And he ended his tour, like, up through to South by Southwest. I don't think he played any official showcases there, but he toured, you know, Southwestern United States, and there he was, singing along to Chuck Reagan tunes.
You know, I just love that. I love being in a city out of town and just running into someone local, you know, someone that you know really well, or maybe just know casually. It's always fun to see a fellow Salt Lake City comrade someplace else.
Yeah, and we also went to Flatstock and ran into Traps Bone there and Tara McPherson.
Well, yeah, I'm going to take us out of this podcast like how Slug took out Texas last week. If you can find any hashtags from our adventure, they're labeled under Slug Messes with Texas. That's capital S, capital L, capital U, capital G, baby.
Well, thanks so much for coming down, you guys, to South by Southwest with me and representing the magazine. I had a really great time with all of you.
Thank you, Angela.
Lots of fun.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Always.
Cheers until next year.
Later.
See y'all.
Salancha.
As always, thank you for listening to the Soundwaves from the Underground podcast, and be sure to visit slugmag.com for all things Slug Magazine. We're going to have Jeffrey Stedman from Yelp Utah back in a couple of short weeks to talk about brunch. Oh, your favorite meal in between breakfast and lunch. You know you love it. We want to know what your favorite place is to get a late morning bite after you've been, up maybe a little late the night before. Either send us an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a message on our automated voicemail line at 858-233-9324. That line is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us a good suggestion. We just might play you on the air. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and myself, Dan Dalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme song, performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. The main logo and art design is by T. Doan, and the technical design is by Kate Colgan. Be sure to tune in next week when we get all wired up on a coffee-themed episode. We'll talk to the new owners of Mestizo Coffee House. We'll have Yelp in to talk about all the great coffee shops that Yelp readers have mentioned on the website. And we'll have a roundtable of local coffee purveyors right here in the studio.